It is 12 o'clock and we'll call to order the Tarrant County 911 Emergency Assistance District Board of Managers meeting for January 28th. And we'll move to item number two on the agenda. We have agenda announcements.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so we'll move to item three. Consider approval of consent agenda items.
Okay, first one is the approval of the minutes for December 3rd board meeting.
Have a motion.
Move approval of all consent agenda items.
Second.
A through D.
Second.
Thank you, Rick. A through D. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Move to item four, presentations.
All right. Sarah is home with the flu, and so Kevin will be presenting the...
I'll be the Sarah today.
The CP project update.
Cool. It's actually, yeah, it's been going well. We've actually been doing a lot of testing as of the past month and a half. When we spoke last, we kind of let you know that we've got some new software coming in. We've actually gone through several different upgrades. Some of that software, we're in the process of testing some of what we've already tested and kicked back. We found some mild issues on things, which is not uncommon. Usually Sarah, we can break most anything. We'll find something to break in there. So it's nothing major, but it's things that we need to make sure that they get correctly and get code associated with. So we've been doing a lot of testing on some of the software in our lab environment. This is stuff that's not being rolled in production level yet until it's actually all been tested out. It looks good. New codes have written, and we have the final solutions coming across. We can actually then have approved for use by AT&T that can then be actually loaded up. So we're really good there. We cut Lake Worth about 2 weeks ago, so that was a positive thing. Lake Worth PD. We've got the sheriff's office going this Wednesday, so that'll be moved over, and then 2 weeks from now, or from then, we got Sands Park. So we've got every 2 weeks, we've got some of these smaller agencies we kind of wiggled in during this time of testing, some other things that it's a good opportunity for us to get to take care of some things. We've got about 58% of the seats completed and 64% of the PSAPs. So we're getting down to the list of some of the ones we anticipated would be more challenging. We've got Fort Worth, we've met with the FD. We've started talking, obviously, with Grand Prairie, we're fully engaged in getting stuff installed out there. So we've got a lot of construction popped up. We've got about a total of five sites that have kind of erupted with construction that we're going to have to manage. It's just, this is not uncommon. Some of them are just going a little bit longer and some a little bit of confusion mode. So we're going to keep you posted on that, but there's no reason to have any need for delays on the schedule that we have. We're going to get done by the end of the calendar year.
So the ECATS report, the ECATS, I guess it comes under VESTA or whatever, it's just really nice. It's outstanding. I mean, the fact they can separate the 10-digit numbers and other things is just really, I don't know if you get to see any of that, but it's just it's a refreshing daily report. And
it's a little more user-friendly to see.
A lot friendly.
Good. We're glad you guys are getting some good benefit out of that.
And when is Fort Worth slated to start?
We started talking about some configuration. There's a lot of meat on the bone of Fort Worth. And we started with fire. They're going to go first, the FD. They're going to take care of their main site and their backup site. And then during that time, as we're doing that, we'll start working with PD. But we're doing them in close proximity, but at the same time, making sure that there is separation. We want to make sure that because they are two totally distinct PSAPs, we want to make sure that one's stable while we're doing the other, and vice versa. That's PD is in the mid to late summertime.
And what about MedStar?
MedStar is in that late summertime frame.
Okay.
Yeah, the one we've had to do a slight change with is airport, because it looks like their construction plan has been pushed out greatly. So our goal to stand up their new CPE with the new construction is probably not going to happen. We're going to probably wind up installing them at their current site, and then the potential of maybe 2 years down the road or so, we'll just have to upgrade.
Okay.
And that affects their backup site as well as their primary, because probably doing some things out there. So that's popped up. That it's gotten a little complicated. Mm-hmm. Northridge Hills, their backup site, which they've kind of gotten all situated, they're going to be moving that around a little bit. So there's a lot of moves and constructions that we're trying to make sure happens.
So do we sense a delay in the completion of the project?
No, so basically, to prevent the delay, what we want to do is just upgrade where they currently are instead of waiting until this construction happens to do what we would prefer to do is that do it all in one shot, so.
That would be ideal. Unfortunately, some of those construction schedules can get wrapped around the axle, you know, project delays. DFW hasn't, they haven't really even started breaking ground on a lot of stuff yet, so because of that, we said we're gonna need to upgrade you guys ahead of time because of our project.
So is there a suggested or expected cost impact because of the delay?
I can't think of any cost impact that would be to us. There is going to be some mild change orders that are going to come about, which is not uncommon, where positions need to be added or readaboards, some mild change. You've seen some of this come across in the past, but not due to the delay specifically.
Yes, essentially, we'll just be moving the physical location of the CPE equipment, et cetera.
Right.
So maybe it's
the same equipment will be used, it'll just be moved.
Right, it'll just be installed in a different location. Okay. And some of the things I get in the cost of the change orders, like we got Arlington, there's some additional needs for some of the reader boards. That was outside the original procurement. So because of that, it comes back to you as a board saying, hey, we'd like to add this for Arlington, maybe this. It's those types of costs. Where we install it, that's going to be kind of not a big deal for us.
Okay.
It's just getting them to get us a place to install it is the challenge.
Anybody else for Kevin? Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
All right. And we had our RIC meeting about 2 weeks ago. Travis will update us on that.
Good afternoon. Shard asked me just to kind of give you guys an update on what we're doing with the RIC. So in December, y'all approved the proposal for 6 MCC 7500 for White Settlement, Azle, and Benbrook. Those orders have been submitted to Motorola. They're up in Schaumburg putting those together. I have been and will continue to work with the Pienza Motorola and Crosspoint. One of the things we talked about at the RIC, and as well as y'all that use Crosspoint know, they lack sometimes communication. So last week I had a sit down with Brad Rice from Motorola. I talked to Bob Whitted from Crosspoint, and I told them that, you know, a lot of the, even though we're not a PSAP, we fund a lot of equipment for the district, and we need to be involved in communication. One of those was back in August of 2017. Greg purchased thousands of TDMA flashes. Those were never completed. So I'm going through my emails, and Brad Rice has transitioned from a position from his prior. So we're kind of comparing emails, saying we need to get this done.
Thousands of TDMAs?
It was about $1 million, I think they said, at one time, of TDMA flashes.
Okay.
Is there a discrepancy there?
It seems high. I mean, it seems like a high number.
I mean, Fort Worth alone has, 3,000 flashes, I believe. I can get that documentation if you want to follow up with that, but there's a lot. And there was no...
But were they targeted for Fort Worth? Were they targeted?
They were divided up amongst the whole district.
Yeah.
So each agency gets a set amount of TDMA flashes.
Okay.
They sign an MOU that Motorola sends out and says, hey, you need to flash your radios. We're going to give you these flashes. And then you go to TDMA on your line, on your timeline. The problem was it never got done. So we were sitting there with a check that's been written and cashed, but the work was never done. So
none of the work or?
Very small amount. So one of the issues I talked to Brad about is, you know, we want to move forward with these MCC 7500s, but this stuff needs to get done. So Casey Moore is sending out an email. I said, it's not all on Crosspoint Motorola. Some of the cities as well never responded. So we're going to give them a time frame as well. We're going to work on that documentation this week, send it back out and say, hey, you know, these are the flashes that you all need.
Now, Fort Worth's FDMA though, right?
They're already a blue TDMA with their radios, just because usually you have to be more mutual aid. I believe all the radios you purchased would be more towards TDMA. They may have some PD ones. A lot of the Netco cities, Keller, Southlake, Westlake, Colleyville, Grapevine, Hearst, Euless, a lot of them are all FDMA. So they all need to be flashed. A lot of our smaller cities, Sansom, all them, they're not even going to know how to read a radio. So one of my roles I kind of tasked myself with to speed this along is I will assist with Motorola to go out and start reading radios to get flash codes.
And essentially, the purchase was made. There was nothing in the paperwork between Motorola, Crosspoint, and us that said any kind of timelines, any kind of expectations. And so kind of going on a year and a half into this, we sit at this meeting and basically are being told by our folks that, hey, you bought these flashes. We don't have them. We can't get them. No one's answering us. We weren't aware of it. And so as Travis told the previous project manager and the folks from Motorola and folks from Crosspoint, we've got a lot of money on the table riding with you guys now and in the future, and we're not moving one step further until you fix this. And so that's the understanding they have as of last week.
And so if I remember right about the business case, the reason the Rick brought it up is because non-TDMA sites that get onto one of the other sites, it eats up all the bandwidth.
Especially with all the resources that come to Arlington for just, you know, working the Cowboys game.
Right.
They're blowing out your resources and you're going to start getting busy. So that was the idea of the flashes, but the purchase is never executed. So one of my goals is to get that one done before we keep moving forward with all these other
appreciate purchases. That. It certainly needs to be consumed.
Yeah.
It needs to be done in a way that...
Yeah. And Crosspoint, you know, I think they got the point. And I told them, you know, I know a lot of you cities are married to y'all, but we don't have to be married to y'all. There's a lot of other vendors out there. Mm-hmm. So, and as soon as I said that, I got an email.
Appreciate you saying that. That's a good perspective. Yeah.
So they're on board. We got a plan. I'll keep you up to date with that. River Oaks, they got on the list and wanted to know, hey, we could use some MCC 7500s. I was like, well, the piggy bank's broke this year. I said, well, we'll put you on the list. We'll come out and start doing site studies to get them up onto the interop system. With that, when we bought the three cities in December that y'all approved, you get a much better price when you're buying six versus two. And one of our plans is to start building out our RBUs. Northeast would be a great one that we're going to start with. Once I get numbers, I'll be proposing next year to get two to three MCC 7500s for that backup site. So a lot of our smaller agencies, especially in that area, there's a bunch of them that have nowhere to go if something breaks or goes down. So one of our plans is to utilize the RBUs more. Telephony was easy, the phones are there, but the radio communication is not there. So we'll start working on that with policies and procedures and memos and just starting to get bids on what that's gonna cost. Gary Gertrude-Ulis, he's on board because he's like, I never have anywhere to go. And they have issues all the time. And then some of the ongoing issues that we talked about with the City of Dallas, their upgrades come along nice. They've hit a kind of a little speed bump with some of their zoning issues with tower sites. But once Dallas gets up and running, we're going to have a huge regional radio system that they'll be able
from
to.
From Irving to Dallas? Or from
Fort Worth to Dallas. Okay. Yeah, it'll be North Texas that'll cover.
Okay.
And that's about it.
When do you think that will happen?
For Dallas?
That's big.
It's big, and it's all built. Some of the issues they said they were having is with tower sites and structures with code compliance. That wasn't there the first go-round when they had these talks, which they're not budging on some of that city.
Because of weight or something?
They're about 3 months behind schedule.
No, I mean tower weight as far as adding?
Just distance from a shelter to a tower, your drives, a lot of stuff that I never even would have considered. That just kind of hit them. But they're working through them, and they are desperately in need of a radio system over there. So, but it's coming.
I mean, we can reach over there right now. We would take us that much further if Dallas was.
And Dallas PD can't even talk to Dallas Sheriff's Office if they're sitting right next to each other on the highway. So there's potential for some getting hurt if they don't get that fixed.
That's great. Thank you, Travis. Sure. Appreciate it.
All right, you guys have for section four. In your package are the proposed board meeting dates based on holidays and etc. For the remainder of the year. I believe the February meeting date requires some discussion.
Yeah, I just we're in section five. I'm messing a page here.
11.
Okay. We don't have to jump to another month, but if we could move it a day, a Tuesday or a Wednesday, and still meet in February. But my problem is that week is I'm committed to a thing in California. I can't be here, and that'll be a meeting I think we'll all want to be in and engaged in. And if it was instead of the week before, where it's President's Day, I guess. Mm-hmm. Maybe we could meet on that Thursday of that week, or
so go back to.
Can we look at schedules and just schedule not necessarily a Monday, but something within the week?
So 19th or the 20th?
Yeah. Do we have time to look at calendars right now? Mm-hmm. Is that possible? So for the retired guy over
here. And if we can't move it, we can. We do have processes that allows for people to fill in. So.
Sure.
So we're talking the week of
I'd prefer to be
18th, and you want to do it on the 21st.
And we can delay anything that you'd like to be here for.
I'm good the 20th or 21st.
What about the 19th? Anybody open on the 19th? 20th or the 21st works for me. The 20th works for me. I could do the 20th.
I can do the
20th. 20th? Rick, can you do the 20th? Wednesday?
Yes.
Rudy, are you okay?
I'm good.
Same time, lunch time, is that okay for everybody? Mm-hmm. Work? Okay. I think we resolved that one.
All right, the rest of the dates we're good with? The rest of the dates follow the normal process.
I'd say sure, currently I have no conflicts with that. That works fine. You got us for the 20th? Okay. All right, so with that, can we move to item number 6?
All right, and item number 6 is on the agenda simply because I changed the type of document we're submitting, so I wanted to just let the board know. It's really just a name change, but it better identifies what we're requesting. We're requesting a property condition assessment versus a quote. Because we really just want, especially after a recent issue with the water, and we've got a potential another issue with this tree back here that's lying on our sewer line that we've got to address, which may be very expensive but necessary, because whereas the water line busting, we can live with that smell, but the sewer line busting, not one we want to live with.
So we have tree roots in the sewer line is what
yeah.
that is?
Yeah, so essentially what happened with the water line is the root has gotten so big that it bent the line and it cracked. And so water was just pouring out. We have the same situation, much smaller root, but it's the same type of situation on our sewer line right now. So if it grows in the wrong direction at any point, we're going to wind up with the same issue. So part and parcel of this PCA, the condition assessment, is to do an assessment of the whole building to kind of give us an idea of what flexibility, if any, we have. So it was, I said I brought it back to the board just to advise of the change of the name of the document and also a slight change in what we're looking for that we can then bring back to the board with their ideas and thoughts.
So. Let me ask you what this is and isn't. This is an assessment of the property, what mm-hmm. the problems are in regards to potential expansion.
Correct.
Or not.
Or not,
but another problems. But nothing should preclude you from ripping out a tree and fixing a sewer line?
Well, no, that's something we're gonna, our biggest issue is we've got to go back to the Historical Society, and I guess with the city, and try to figure out. They didn't allow us to knock the tree down before with the generator for historical purposes.
Tree ordinance.
Yeah, so we've got to have them come look at the situation and advise them what the deal is, and I guess follow.
So if we knock down a tree this wide, you've got a replacement two trees this wide or something like that?
Not sure. They may allow you, but there's a tree ordinance, and you just can't go there and cut down trees.
Yeah.
But if it provided some sort of infrastructure problem, sir.
That probably would.
Yeah.
But I mean, the tree can run the building. You know what I mean? But if it's just a tree standalone, they may protest.
Yeah, and that's a significantly old one. And I know previously they had issues when they wanted to knock it down. But
sure.
I think this is not a cosmetic request. So I'm hoping we will.
You also just cut it and then deal with the consequences.
Are you going to get a, it's true. Are you going to get a value of this property?
Mm-hmm. That's all included, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So in your mind, you're looking at the viability of this property continue being the location for?
Correct.
Or do we make decisions next
with
time?
With the assumption of the, looking at the property with the assumption of renovating the property, what can it handle, what can it stand, what is in our purview, and kind of knowing the condition of the building will help us. And then the next step would then be making the decision which way we're going to go as we look at other options if this does not pan out for us.
Wayne, how long have we been here?
10 years.
10 years?
Mm-hmm.
Just 10 years?
Going on 11.
About right.
2008.
Okay.
Wow. I thought it was older.
So why? Did we build this?
Well, the builder, the building is like 30 years old.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what you're doing.
Yeah, no, the building is much older.
Okay. Do you, are we okay from a fire marshal perspective right now?
Yes, when I talked to the fire marshal, like I said in the email Friday, we did not actually receive the red tag. It is an actual tag that we receive in our hand, so we have not received it. We're hoping, we have them coming back today, that with when they finish what they do today, that the alarm company will clear us and we're good. If they do wind up still giving us the red tag, because the assessment was Friday, then as I mentioned, the email will have to go to the code compliance and just let them know, hey, this is what happened, but this is what we've done. And they'll tell me whatever steps I need to do to clear it.
So what happened? Just
a... I'm sorry. We Friday we failed. I think of the 14 alarms, only two work. And so obviously we failed our assessment, and we were red tagged. So I called Friday the fire marshal to find out what all that involved, and they said that really it's not them; it's the property assessors and code compliance that handles the red tagging, because I asked them concerns about us being in the building. Were they going to kick us out and tell us we can't be here until we fix it? And he said no, but we could assess fines for being in it. So we're trying to get it fixed before we have to worry about that.
Move approval of a motion to release RFQ for the property condition assessment.
Yeah, have a second. Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Go do it.
All righty.
Okay, we'll move to item 7.
We just have one item on there, and that is for the Palo Alto firewalls. And Monty, if you guys have any questions, Monty's prepared to answer those for you.
You want to give us an overview?
Yeah, okay, so these are next generation firewalls to replace the current firewalls we have at the post sites. These the current ones are end of life, and these will allow us to put in new services with for the next gen 911, including ECATS. We're using the old ones with ECATS right now, but there are other services like that. It also includes 3 years of support. It also has the Cisco ICE, which is a authentication server. We're going to have two of those redundant. That allows for tracking and authentication for VPN access into the network.
Okay. Any discussion?
Are we behind on our patch updates?
No.
Because it's in the left.
Not currently. It's still supported, but just in a block, almost out of sight.
Okay. Anybody else? We have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. We'll go to the executive director report, item number 8.
I do not have anything for that.
Okay. Then we'll move to briefings.
Afternoon. As I briefed you last month, Dennis Bonin was unanimously elected Speaker of the House, and he's wasted no time. He's hit the ground running. Typically, when the House appoints their committees, it's usually mid-February. Last week, he's already made his committee assignments. Most of our bills are going to go through the Homeland Security and Public Safety Committee. We have a few state reps near our area. Tony Tenderholt in Arlington, Dwayne Burns in Cleburne, Mike Lane in Granbury. But that's a 9-member committee. This is going to be a more nuts and bolts type session. I really doubt we're going to see any type of the social issues that came up last session with the bathroom bill. That's dead in the water. Speaker Bonin, for instance, is focused on school finance reform, school finance reform, school finance reform. In fact, his first day, he replaced all the styrofoam coffee cups in the members' coffee lounge with styrofoam cups that say school finance reform, the time is now. And he said, I'm going to be hammering that every day of the session. So it's going to be school finance reform and consequently property taxes and how we deal with that. I don't know if we're going to see similar, for lack of a better word, friction between state legislature and local governments like we did last session. I expect there will probably be a little bit, but you know, last session it seemed like it was almost at war between local governments and state legislature. In the Senate, it's been, Dan Patrick has appointed his committee chairs, most of our made his committee assignments. Most of our bills that we're following will probably go through the Senate State Affairs Committee, and that membership's really not changed very much from last session. Joan Huffman's a state representative from Houston. She's going to chair that committee. You may have read in the paper or seen on the news the dust-up between the lieutenant governor and Kel Seliger, who's a state senator from Amarillo. I won't get into the specifics of it, but essentially, Senator Seliger was removed from several committees that he chaired the previous session, and then consequently, through a war of words, was revoked from another committee chair. And the reason I bring that up is because it creates very interesting dynamics in the Senate and how bills get through. To bring a bill up for debate on the Senate floor, you have to have 3/5 of the members agree to bring it up. And when you have 19 Republicans and 12 Democrats, that's not a problem. But now, people like me are saying you have 18 Republicans, 12 Democrats, and Senator Seliger. And he's going to be a wild card on a lot of bills that could be controversial or may not have a chance to come up. It just depends on what he does. So it definitely creates some interesting politics and dynamics in the Senate going forward. There are going to be 3 special elections in the House. 2 tomorrow and 1 in February. Carol Alvarado was a state representative from the Austin area. She was elected in a special election last December for the Senate, and her special election to replace her is going to be tomorrow. Joe Pickett is a longtime state representative from El Paso. He dealt a lot with transportation. He may have served on public safety last session. I can't remember off the top of my head, but he had to resign late last month due to health reasons. The special election to replace him is tomorrow. And then finally, I'm missing here. Oh, Justin Rodriguez is a state rep from San Antonio. He was appointed a Bexar County commissioner early this month, and a special election to replace him is in February. As far as bill tracking, bill filing goes, we've seen a little over 1,500 bills filed so far in the House, a little over 500 filed so far in the Senate. And since committees have been announced, I expect that to pick up pretty dramatically. We're monitoring these bills, and I've got a bill tracking list that I share with Shannar and her staff at the end of every week to see if there's anything that comes up that we should be concerned about or something that we can see an opportunity to get somebody, you guys down there, to offer to testify in support of.
Who's the chair of Homeland Security?
Poncho Navarez. He's a lawyer. He's a Democrat from Eagle Pass. The vice chair is Dennis Paul. He's a state representative from Houston. He's been there for, I think this is his third or fourth session.
How many sit on the committee?
Nine.
Yeah.
Five Republicans, four Democrats.
And we got three locals in that one.
I think we're in good shape on that.
Yeah.
But so far with bill tracking, we're tracking about 15 or 16 bills right now. But like I said, that list is going to increase as we get close to the bill filing deadline. And then we'll get a sense of what's going to pass, what's not going to pass, and we can call it down to something else. But so far, so good at this point.
So far.
So far.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Okay, do we have anything for executive?
Yes.
Okay, then I'll close the public meeting and we'll move into executive session under Section 551071, Section 551074, and Section 418-183F.
I didn't know if you had the names, so.
Yeah. Okay, we're calling back into open session. We'll move into the public comment portion. Seeing no public comment, do we have a motion for adjournment?
So moved.
Second.
We are adjourned.